Okay.
It'd be okay. Okay, it's May, was it 8th?
Yes.
Just make sure. 2016. We're at Faith Bible Church. It's adult Sunday school, as you all know, unless it's a little bit early for you and you didn't have your second cup of coffee. I'm Paul Abelt, Bobak III. I'm filling in for Dave today. And the title of what I'm going to deal with is the union of love and knowledge, which produces fruit. The union of love and knowledge, which produces fruit. So we're going to start in Colossians and pretty much be in there. Colossians chapter 1. Going to jump right into it. And I'm going to pull a Dave here. But before I start, I also want to honor you mothers out there. Mothers who are also watching the video or listening through audio. The closest thing, I think, to God's love is a mother's love. You know, a mother will, you know, her sons or daughter could be in court, you know, stealing, whatever, and she'd go, they're a good boy, they're a good girl, you know. And that reminds me of when God looks at those in Christ, he sees us in the righteousness of Christ. And he says, that's my beloved. That's how God sees believers. It's another story for unbelievers. But the good news is they can become believers. That's what repent means, right? Mind change. You change. Repent, you know, theologians have changed the meaning of it. Pastors and churches, they say it's like stopping doing what you're doing and start doing this, you know. But that's, repentance just means a change of mind. From unbelief to belief. And anyway, with that, again, I want to honor you mothers, and everyone should be thankful for their mom, even if they weren't a good mother, because you wouldn't be here without your mom. Amen? Amen. So let's go to Colossians. And I apologize if I only had, you know, they call me at the last minute. You know, I had yesterday and the day before to prepare. Usually I'll take like a week. So what I did, I went with something that I've studied already. And actually, if you want to see, I went through Colossians verse 1 through maybe, I didn't get up to 25, maybe 20, 19. And on YouTube, it's under Joe Balbach, B-A-L-B-A-C-H. They messed up when we got our phones. So you can see it very thoroughly through there. So Joe Balbach on YouTube. I'm going to pull a Dave, and I'm going to start at verse 24, and then we're going to the end of the chapter, but then I'm going to jump back into the more the beginning of the chapter, because I want you to see who Paul's writing to. Go to the end of verse 23, the very last line. Wherefore, I, Paul, am made a minister. So who's writing? Paul is writing this. And we're going to see who's he writing to, the body of Christ. That's the church of today. And we're going to, we're running a little bit later than I wanted to, so I don't know if I'll go right back to the verses, but I will sort of focus, mention them. You always got to ask what? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to, right? You look at context. That's very important. When James writes, faith without works is dead, okay? Who's he who's writing that? James? Who's he writing to?
Jews.
Yeah, what's it say? To the 12 scattered tribes. He's not writing to the body of Christ, the church of today. And we're going to see there's three churches in Scripture. There's not just one church. You know, people see church. Or when they look at the word baptism, what do they think right away? Especially if you've been a Baptist, right? I was. I was baptized twice, you know. But there's like 12 or more baptisms in Scripture. So context defines what that word means. Because what is there? One baptism today, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? It's not water. It's not a baptism, a Holy Ghost fire. You know, we're dry cleaned, if you want. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. See, context. It's very important. We have to unlearn a lot of things, you know, that we learn in religion and our denomination, you know. My old pastor used to say, Jim Kirkwood, that you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual adulthood when you let this word be your authority. Not my pastor, not grandma who's sweet and made cherry pie for me every week. You know, it's not my father who I respect so much. It's not my denomination. It's the Word of God rightly divided. You better rightly divide it. Because if you don't, you're going to wrongly interpret it. So we're going to look in verse 24. So Paul's talking about himself. We've seen the context from the end of the last verse. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. I'm going to stop there. How can you rejoice when you're suffering? Think about it. Do you rejoice when you're suffering?
Not
not unless we apply the word, right? Because usually we're whining, right? Oh, Lord, why? I've been serving you so, you know, why would you, you know, and then the pastor blames it on God. God, get you, you know. And I've heard, and it bothers me, I can think of two right offhand grace teachers that rightly divide the word that teach very overall, very accurately, that have said, if you stay in sin, God will take you out this world. That's my old Pentecostal doctrine. God will punish you. He'll curse your kids. He'll be cursed to 1,000 generations, going back to the Old Testament, under law. See, either Christ dealt with our sins once for all, or he didn't.
Yes,
he did. See? Now, should we go stay in sin? No.
God forbid.
But the thing is, does God see you justified or not? Is it by your behavior? Or is it by what Christ did? See? That causes you to want to glorify God. See? There's different motivations in Scripture. Law, what's motivation? Fear. Do these things, or to get something. Do these things, God will bless you, don't, he'll curse you, right? So it's very important, not only to rightly divide the word, understand who we are in Christ. How's God dealing with us in the dispensation of grace, right? You know, you shouldn't serve God out of fear. Even in giving, you know, are we going to go back to that kingdom church where God took out Ananias and Sapphira because they lied about, if you want to say, their tithes or what they gave? Well, if God was doing that today, a lot of people would be struck dead. See? If you don't rightly divide, and we're going to see them three churches. But how do you rejoice in your sufferings? Who's our pattern? Paul. Find out how he rejoiced. Because he said, God works all things for our good. We live by faith and not sight, right? When we're going through things, what do? Lord, I know you're working this for my good. It might not change the circumstance, but it'll change how you go through it. See? And we know that tribulation, what? Produces perseverance, endurance. Character is the idea of what it'll do in our lives. So Paul rejoiced in this because he knew why he was suffering. He knew why he was being persecuted. You know why? Because he was trying to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, wasn't he? And that should be our desire too. I love it. This guy, Enoch, he's my friend on Facebook. He lives in New Jersey. He wrote a book on can't think of the name but offhand. It's about some lie of tithing. In the church today, and he uses that to kind of get in the right division and things. And he told me I'm a grace enforcer, a mystery enforcer. I loved it, man, because I used to be a gangbanger, you know, enforcer, you know. So now I'm a gangster for God, I guess, you know, according to my buddy. But I love it. That guy's such an encouragement. And we need to encourage each other, don't we? As we see, we need to pray for each other, too. And Paul said, who now rejoice... Jacob or Chris, could you give me some water, please? Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And listen to this. And fill up. And the idea is complete. Fill up. Fill full. Right? And fill up that which is behind, or the idea lacking, in the afflictions of Christ. In my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church. So he's writing to the church, right? But what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ? Didn't he say it's finished? Christ from the cross? He said it's finished, right? What's lacking? Remember Paul said he was given a secret? Thank you. Called the mystery that's unsearchable. In that mystery, in that secret, we find out what Christ fully accomplished at the cross. It wasn't known till Paul. See? Satan's very good keeping most of the church in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John with Jesus teaching on the law as the Messiah. And then I see on Facebook, they use all the... They're following, I think, a lot of them, that Hebrew roots movement or something, Yeshua, and they're calling him. Paul calls him Jesus Christ. He calls him Jesus. You know, some people I've read, because sometimes people got this, I'm holding hands with Jesus kind of thing, you know. We have an intimacy with Christ, yes. But also, he's Lord, right? He's our Savior. He's God, the Son. So, some people, again, they go to extremes. And I've read in books of good Bible teachers that said you should always call him Jesus Christ. Well, let's test that. Paul calls him Jesus sometime. See, because we do have that intimacy, but he also calls him Jesus Christ, right? Christ Jesus. And so, in Paul's epistles, we find what Christ accomplished at the cross. We find the body of Christ that you won't find outside of Paul's epistles. You'll find two churches. I might as well mention that because there's three churches, two outside of Paul's epistles. In Acts chapter 7, I think verse 38, Stephen talks about the congregation, which is the same word for church, ecclesia. It's a called out group. Okay, they're set apart. They're called out, set apart. The church in the wilderness. So, what church was that? Israel. That's when God called out the nation Israel from Egypt. Right. That's one church. Now, is that us back there?
No.
No. That's the nation Israel. You got another church. Let's just go to it. Acts chapter 2, I believe. I hate when I mention a verse and then if I watch a video, I like to see, I just look at it sometimes, say, I can't believe what you did to me, Lord. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that works through you. Alright. Acts 2. Verse 38. They asked Peter, what shall we do? These were Israel's leaders. Get the context. On Pentecost, it was Jews and a few probably proselytes, which is someone who became a Gentile that became a Jew, took on the yoke of the law. And when they ask him, what must we do to be saved? Okay, let's see, is this how you're saved today? Because some people teach it. It's in the Bible, ain't it? This is in the Bible, right?
Yeah, it's in the Bible, but
Boy, you better rightly divide it, because Satan uses Scripture. Remember, he used it on Christ? But Christ knew the context. See, so let's look at what he said. Then Peter said unto them, repent. So change your mind. They were rejecting Christ, right? So they need to change their mind. And do what? And be baptized, this water baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what do they have to do then?
Repent.
Repent, change your mind, get baptized, then what would happen? Then they get the Holy Spirit, right? And forgiveness. Today, in the dispensation of grace, we find out through Paul what? The moment you believe, you're sealed with, till you get the Holy Spirit then. It's the Holy Spirit who places you in the union with Christ. Into the body, many members. One body, one head, right? This ain't, most of the church, what? I don't know what percent, it's high 90s, think the church began at Pentecost. Well, if your premise is off, your findings will be off, won't it? And Satan's been very subtle in that. See? Then go down to verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So you see something, they were added this church, right? They were added to this church that was what? Already established, right? So what church is that? Remember that Christ says on this, when he asked Peter, who do you say I am? Because they're saying I'm this and that. And you got that today, right? The libs. Oh, Jesus was just a good man. He was a prophet, a good teacher. You know, he was realized he's God for the New Agers, you know. And Peter said what? You're the Christ, Son of the Living God, right? I believe. I know he said you're the Christ. I think he said Son of the Living God. Anyway, what did Christ say? On this, you're not, he's going to name him Peter, which means little pebble. And on this rock, means a huge boulder, I will build my church. Right? When did that church start? With John the Baptist. Remember Peter, when they had to fill in Judas' apostleship to make the 12? Paul wasn't one of the 12. What did he say? It had to be somebody starting that's been with us from John the Baptist all the way through the ministry, right? Under Christ's ministry. So that church that Christ is going to, the rock that he's going to build his church on, that church had to believe he was the Messiah, they had to sell everything they had, they had to follow him, they had to keep the law, right? And so that's two churches. That's not the body of Christ. See? So you got the church in the wilderness, you have that church. So for the Pentecostals, I'm sorry, Baptist Pentecostal, because Baptists believe, and I'm not picking on anybody, I got Baptist friends, I love them, and Pentecostal and charismatic friends, I love them. I used to be a Pentecostal, I used to be a Baptist. I did a whole lot of stuff, man, I've been around. Yeah. Been around the corner, back in the alley, you know. But I studied this word, and I learned to let this word teach me. I remember hearing about rightly dividing the word and law and grace, and I remember when I heard about complete forgiveness, that is final. You don't got to ask. You don't got to confess your sins. Because who is John writing to?
Jews.
Right? James is writing to the 12 scattered tribes. Peter is writing to a peculiar people. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. God in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy promised them if they'll keep the law, he'll make them a kingdom of priests. We're not a kingdom of priests. John is writing to kingdom earthly believers. Them are books that's going to, not only was it the next thing in their agenda, that church, because the body of Christ wasn't started yet, you know what it was? The tribulation period. Christ was preparing them for that. Remember where he said you got to persevere till the end? Or you won't be saved? You can't enter the kingdom? He was preparing them. I remember reading John saying, when you understand rightly dividing, and you understand he's not speaking to the body of Christ. He's speaking to the nation Israel, the believers. He's preparing them to go through that tribulation. Remember where a mother will turn against son and father against daughter. You know, I don't get all the words mixed up in that. Paul's paraphrase, sorry. And he's preparing them. So the next thing, they needed some doctrine to go through that tribulation, right? Amen. Who's going to write it for him? Kingdom apostles. James, John, Peter. The book of Revelation is not about the body of Christ. It's about the unveiling of Christ according to the kingdom earthly program. Amen. Paul preaches Christ what? According to the revelation and the mystery. See, there's a difference. You can preach Christ, and you can preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and most people preach it like it's he's teaching us today. He's teaching under law. We're not under law, we find out through Paul, right? Yeah. Rightly divide, baby. And we don't make the divisions. Be careful with that. We find the divisions where God has made them, and we acknowledge them, and we obey them. We should. And so, you have that church. Now let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. And then you have the church, which is called what? The body of Christ. Where do we find our instructions? In Paul's epistles. You know, somebody on Facebook, I posted a thing that if we're not following Paul, we're not following Christ, because Christ sent Paul. And one of my friends from years back, a lady from a church who's gone, said, "I don't follow a man, I follow Christ." And I put, "Christ sent Paul." You ain't getting it.
Well, you can follow.
Yeah. Christ sent Paul with a new message that was hid. It was a secret, wasn't it? As we'll see. Let's keep going. In verse 25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God." So what? Christ sent Paul, right? God sent Paul with what? A new dispensation, a new message, a new commission. It ain't going in and baptizing in all nations, baptizing, you know, making disciples. That's the kingdom program. And after the rapture, that program will start back up. God will start his He stopped his prophetic clock with the stoning of Stephen. Right after that, I'm sorry, not with stoning Stephen, with the raising up of Apostle Paul. Because Christ brings in a new dispensation that was hid. And you got to see that. People, maybe you've never seen that. Maybe you've never heard of it. I always tell people, don't believe a word I say. Tested by the Word of God. Don't just follow our pastor. Test everything by the Word of God. He's right on the money most of the time. But nobody's got it all. You know, sometimes I think of great men of God that I respect so much. And then all of a sudden I read some, I'm going, where? Yeah. But then it just reminds me, don't ever follow a man. Because where they're off, you'll be off. You know? Nobody's got it all except who? God. Right? And we're all learning, you know. And there's nothing wrong with being wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's like we don't want to say we're wrong. Some people, some pastors learn this message of grace. They don't want to teach it to their people. You know why? I say I was wrong. It takes a lot of courage to do that, don't it? I don't know about you, but I know when I got to apologize, I get choked up. I do. I don't know what's, it's pride or what. You know, it's like, honey, you know, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm getting all choked out. It's like, what's the big thing of saying we're wrong? If we're wrong, we're wrong. Let's make it right. Right? Start thinking right. Repent. Mind change. So, says, in verse 25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given me." So who was it given to? For you. Who's Paul writing to? The body of Christ. That's you. If you've trusted in Christ. To fulfill, and that word, fill to the full, complete the Word of God. You see, if you took Paul's epistles out of the Bible, you would have one complete program of Israel's earthly program and God's plans and purposes for them. And when you, if you just take Paul's epistles, that's for the body of Christ. Somebody going through the tribulation period after the dispensation and grace is over, if they say, you know what? I'm forgiven all my sins completely. I'm not under law. I'm under grace. I can take the mark of the beast. Wrong dispensation, buddy. Paul ain't their apostle. He's our apostle. You got to rightly divide the word. So it was given to Paul to complete the word of God. Once this word of God's completed, this is what? God's revelation to man. God ain't speaking today in voices. God ain't speaking today in Hebrews, it even talks about, right? And time passed. God spoke in many and various ways. Today he speaks to his son. Who's his son speaking to today? Christ gave Paul our instructions, right? To the body of Christ. So God, Christ speaks to us. If you're following Paul, you're following Christ. We don't worship Paul. Paul's just a man. And when Paul talks about himself, it's very humble. You know, he said, I'm like nothing. But when he talks about his office that Christ gave him, he magnifies it. So we don't worship Paul, but we recognize Paul as our apostle. And just like God gave the law to Moses, for who? The nation Israel. And if they didn't obey him, they were in trouble. They would go off. Today, the church is in trouble. You know why? They don't follow our apostle who Christ sent. And they get in trouble. And no wonder we're not that effective in the world. You know, and no wonder they got to do entertainment and a bunch of, you know, play-down doctrine. It's a shame. And Paul says, even the mystery which has been hid. What? It's been hid. Paul talks about it's unsearchable. Where? In time past. It was hid to the apostles, the 12 apostles. Christ didn't reveal it back then to them. Because they had another program they were 12 apostles for. The kingdom program, the earthly kingdom. I like to always say earthly kingdom because there's a thing where when Paul talks about the kingdom of God, that's overall rule of God. But he's not talking about the, you know, unless in context, that kingdom. The clock, my enemy. I wonder if the pastor would get mad one time if I got a little pellet gun and blast that thing. So even the mystery that has been hid from ages and from generations. But now. So you got to see time pass, but now, and things to come, right? Ain't that Paul tells us, the three divisions in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 1, 2? He says, but now it's made manifest. It's manifest through Paul. It's unveiled. That mystery, we're so blessed. We live in a dispensation that nobody else knew about. A dispensation where we're in union with Christ. Oneness. That we're seated in heavenly places. How come we're whining and crying and complaining and what we don't got? We're so blessed. We're rich spiritually. We need to be rejoicing and we need to keep a heavenly perspective. This is all temporary. But while we're here, that's the only time that God can use you in a way where we struggle because we got two natures and we got to totally depend on Christ in us to overcome that. And he gives us the weapons, what? Romans 6, right? We die with Christ, we were buried, we rose with him. See, Paul tells us how to walk in the Spirit today and reckon yourself dead to sin but present yourself to God. See, if you don't know that, you're going to try and go back to Pentecost and do some signs and wonders. And then they mix up things, binding and loosing Satan, and talking about Satan, how more than talking about Christ. And another thing, they talk about the Holy Spirit more than Christ, where Christ said when the Holy Spirit comes, what? He'll glorify Him. If the Holy Spirit's glorifying Christ, He's pointing to Christ, He ain't pointing to Himself. So anyway, He said, even the mystery which has been hid from, in verse 26, from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known. See, God wants to make known. God wants us to know, every believer to know about this. Well, how does He do it? Through you, through me, through every privileged believer that has come under good teaching and researched it themselves and understands how to rightly divide the word so you can see the mystery. Ain't nobody going to get it if we ain't sharing it. And if you're shy, give somebody a book. Give them a little, there's a lot of little short things because some people won't read some big. That's why my books, Keep It in Prayer, Bible Doctrines to Live By is publishing my book, which I'm so thankful, and I'm praying God will just use that to reach unbelievers, because that's how I start. What is an unsaved person in Adam? And then how they get out of them by grace through faith, you know, trusting in Christ. But I didn't want to do a real long book. A lot of believers even won't read long books. I'm going to be nice. My old pastor Kirk would used to go, he'd say something real out there, and then he'd go, oh, the devil made me do it. But I don't look like Flip Wilson, so can't get away with it. And here's what I want to get to, too. Those of us who understand right division and who study, it's real easy to get puffed up. Knowledge puffs up, doesn't it? But love edifies. That's why my message was what? The union of love and knowledge, it produces fruit. Because if you have knowledge without love, Paul says we can know all mysteries, right? Understand them all. We can understand all the mysteries that were given to Paul. What's that? The rapture, justification, all them things. We can understand it all. But if we ain't got love, we're zero. Zero. All puffed up and arguing with people and turning them away from grace instead of drawing them to grace by love. Loving them. Being patient with them. Giving them time to learn. No, we want to... Don't you see it? Don't you see it? It's right here. Don't you see it? Right here. I love my brother James. I do a good imitation where he said, you're wrong, brother. You're wrong. His McDonald's ministry, you know. He deals with a lot of people. They don't want to look at how to rightly divide the word. But we got it. It's got to be love. See, today they want to play down doctrine, don't they? Huh? I don't know if you're on Facebook. Most is, but oh, we didn't need to love people more. Quit. We don't need so much diet. It's not what you know, and it ain't. But boy, God wants you to know some things. We need the doctrine. We need the knowledge, and we need the love. And them two have to be in union. If you ain't got the love, you'll turn people off. But you could have all the love you want and all the enthusiasm you want, and you're sharing bad doctrine, going back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, amen, going back under the law. I don't care how loving you are, you ain't sharing correct knowledge, and that ain't right either. Amen. It's speaking the truth in love. May we always keep that in our mind.
Amen.
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 And then in verse 27, amen, to whom God would make known what is the riches. Look at that. Riches, baby. Of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul preached Christ. I love Dave did a message a little while back. Paul was preaching Christ. His focus was Christ. But not Christ in his... He says, though we knew Christ, according to the flesh, we don't know him no more. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, according to the flesh, we know him as risen, glorified, dealing with our sins once for all, right? Breaking the power of sin on the cross, buried, rising, ascending and glorified, head of the body. That's how we know him. We preach Christ according to revelation and mystery. That's how you got to preach him today. Amen. Otherwise, you'll be trying to work in a program God ain't doing no more. So he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. What's that idea of perfect? Yeah, mature, complete. Wherefore, I want you to catch this. Wherefore, I also labor. See, so there's works under grace, but you're not saved by them. You don't stay saved by them. You cannot do anything your whole life and you would still be saved. But at the bema seat of Christ, when he gives out rewards, you won't be busting a grape. I want to be able to say, Lord, I would want to hand them back. Anything, because we're going to look at this verse, anything good that ever came out of me is Christ in me expressing himself out of me. Today, if you get anything from this message, I appreciate it if you let me know, because sometimes you think, man, I bumbled, and you know, if you did. But remember who, it's Christ in us, expressing his truth and his love out of us. Because Paul said, I also labor, striving. Paul was laboring. He was working what? But how? According to his working, which worketh mightily in me. You know that idea of working is? Like the Word of God that works in you? Energizes. It's Christ in us by his Holy Spirit. He's the one who energizes, produces that spiritual energy. See, when you try to live the Christian life in your own strength, you're going to fall on your face. And I see people out there, they got zeal, like Paul says, zeal without knowledge. But you know what happens? They're going to come to the end themselves. And when they face real tough things in life, they can bind Satan, they can claim healing, they can do all this and that. And when it ain't working, they're going to be ready to give up. And then God says, now you're getting it. Like Paul said, it's no longer me, but Christ, right? So let's go. I got 5 minutes. And I'm going to end on time. Maybe there are some miracles still happening today when I end on time. Go up to chapter 1, verse 9. Or no, 8. Paul's talking about the Colossians, who also declared unto us your love in his spirit. Paul was rejoicing. He heard they're loving. These people are loving. For this cause. So the reason he heard about that. Since the day we heard about it, we don't cease to pray for you. This to me, Paul's our pattern. He gives us our instructions, right? Paul says he was a pattern, right? He got saved by what? Grace and mercy. And he was saved as a pattern for those who would come after, right? So we get saved just like Paul got saved, right? By what? Grace. Christ should have destroyed them. He's killing kingdom believers, dragging them to jail. They're getting their backs ripped up with that whip and stuff. Women, probably children. Christ should have struck them that he saved them by grace, pure grace. And so we're saved that way. Paul was the first one in the body of Christ. They weren't at Pentecost. And then everyone since then, till the rapture, become a member of that body. Saved by grace through faith, not by works. And so, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. We need to pray for each other, saints. I try to pray for every single one in our church. And then I got a whole list. I try individually. I think of one day I'll start on this side in my mind, the other day, I'm starting with Dave over there, and I try and think, you know, I see Linda and Dwayne, you know, and I know I got to really pray strong for Linda because she's married to Dwayne, you know. But no, and I go, no, my brother, I love this guy. No, you can pray for Mary. She's married to me, man. But anyway, I pray for you, you know. And sometime when I'm more rushed, I just pray for the whole church and pray for our pastor. Think how Satan comes against him. Not only is our pastor, he's editor of the Berean Bible Society, right? You know, he needs encouragement and stuff. Guess who Satan's going to attack first? Pastor, Dave, Steve. I'm not much of a threat, you know, except I'm an enforcer of the ministry, so maybe I am, as my friend Enoch says. Pray for each other. We need each other. You think you're going through things? You're not the lone stranger. We're all going through things. And he says, and desire, this was Paul's desire. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? And to desire that you might be filled. Filled with what? Just love? Love, love, love. Let's hold hands. Kumbaya, my Lord. Don't discuss doctrine. Just love, love, love. All we need is love, right? No, listen what he says. Do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge. See, Paul puts down humanistic knowledge, human philosophy, but God ain't against knowledge. Now, he wants us to have his knowledge, not worldly knowledge. And look at this, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And why? Why? Maybe I'm losing weight. I don't know. I hope so. Why do we want this knowledge? So we can be a big doctrine head? Ooh, you know, or so we can win arguments? So we can impress people for all we know? No, keep reading. That you might walk worthy. Does it say you're worthy? We're not lambs, but I like this expression. Worthy is the lamb, not the sheep. We've never been worthy to get saved, but there's a way to walk that's worthy of who God has made us. And that's why grace teaches us you want to walk like this because it glorifies God. And we don't always. And what I want you to think about, all of us fail. Maybe this week you failed and you feel like let God down. Paul says, I forget the past. Don't stay there. Satan will keep you on there. Your flesh will. Just get your eyes back on the Lord. He ain't holding against you. It's been punished on the cross. That you might walk worthy on the Lord, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful. That's God's will. Fruit. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, I thought, let's just serve God, let's just love. It's increasing in the knowledge of God, right? And taking it and making it, building that edifice of sound doctrine in your soul and applying it to the details of your life. See, that's your walk. Strengthen with all might. Boy, this sounds like some Holy Ghost power, right? It is. Strengthen with all might according to the glorious power. On all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Look at the power there. When you're suffering, you can have joy. How? Giving thanks. Having a thankful attitude. Thank you, Lord, you're working this for my good. Unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance in the saints in light. If you're a saint, you're in the light. Sorry, 1 John 1:9 ain't to you. That's to those who walk in, who live in darkness. Believers are children of light, right? You can't get in darkness. who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's what I'm talking about. When Paul talks about the kingdom, it's the overall kingdom. We're not talking about that earthly kingdom. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Did it say, like 1 John 1:9 has been taught, you got to get forgiven, confess your sins, ask forgiveness. You out of fellowship, in fellowship. The wages of sin is death. It ain't out of fellowship. I got news for them people. When I understood that, that was just so freeing. I've never since then asked God to forgive me. I thanked him. I thank him every day he did forgive me. And it says we have, right? That's present possession. We live in forgiveness. Otherwise, when we sin, what would God's Spirit have to do? Leave us. Why won't he? Because Christ dealt with our sins once for all. I got to end. Christ died for everyone's sins, but everybody's not saved. How do you get saved? What's it mean to get saved? I want to say this for someone who possibly has never trusted in Christ. So then maybe this whole message has been, you know, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so if you look sharing things that ain't real complicated with people and their eyes are sort of turning on you, wing, 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 maybe they don't know the Lord. They could be in church their whole lives. We were born in Adam, spiritually dead. When Adam sinned, the Spirit of God left him. That was the image of God. God and the man expressing himself out, right? Why? Because of sin. And not only that, he gained the sin nature. And he passed that on to the whole human race. We were born a rebel. Sometimes people sin in this way, carnally type. Some sin in religion. They think they can be good enough to clean themselves up. And God said there's none righteous, no, not one. So what's the answer if we can't save ourselves? Jesus died on the cross, died for everyone's sins. All God asks is that we trust he's dying our death. Not just knowing about it, not just knowing the theological facts. He died for me and as me. I deserve that. That moment, God places you, takes you out of Adam. You die who you were in Adam. You died with Christ. God places you into his death, burial. What do you do with the dead body? You bury it, right? You'll never come back again who you were. You can't ever get unsaved again. And you rise with Christ with resurrection life. All God asks is that we trust he died for us. We can't come saying, I commit my life to you. We can't say, I'm going to quit doing this, I'm going to start doing that. If we come empty-handed and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. What it took. What deep love, infinite love, to erase the rebels. And he died for us, as us. Took our punishment and pain and shame. And I thank you, Lord, that you've made it so easy to be saved. Because Christ paid it all. I pray if there's one father who's never trusted in your Son, that today they won't just walk away, because eternity is a long time. Maybe they've walked away and they've heard it and they keep putting it off. I pray today your Holy Spirit would heavenly convict their heart, Lord, of their need. And for us who do know you, Lord, I pray that you fill us with such a deep hunger to study your word and to know, not just know the word, to know you, to know Christ, to apprehend what we've been apprehended by, to know him and his resurrection life in us, to know who we are in him. And fill our heart with love, God, and true knowledge from your word rightly divided so we can share this message of salvation with the unsaved and the mystery that was hidden other ages but now revealed to those who are saved. And that we pray you make opportunities for us, Lord, and give us a boldness to speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you all for staying awake and... That's why it says, I like when people say amen, it keeps the person awake next to them too, you know.
Amen.
Appreciate it. I said last minute, but when you depend on the Holy Spirit,